Shoo, America! Welcome to the Tong, where our loyalty lies only with warrior, and they will scrap only if I give them the order. And you feeling itchy, you got something to say? Just know we hop this way. Nobody else is suited for this other than us. I know it's crazy, but we work with it and don't give a what. Welcome to the show. If you don't know the name, we call it Hop This Way.
Welcome back to all our favorite itchy onions from all the tongs across the globe, from our tongue to yours. It is we, the Hop Way. Yes, Frank, you see, is not here, but he will be joining us shortly. We do have, of course, the ever so lovely and ever so dangerous, the Miss Stephanie Young Pratt. How are you?
I am not over seeing Rebecca in front of a hammock right now. So I'm having issues. All right. Okay.
That's our thing right now, is to figure out what's going on with Rebecca, but she is frozen right there. So we'll give her a quick second to get that all sorted out. But while we do, the man of the hour. I don't know why I want to call you the man of the hour. I always try to make it alliterative when it comes with you, Money Matt Chua. How are you, my friend? How are things?
Because I am a man and I'm only here for an hour, and it makes perfect sense to me.
You know what? I'm just going to bring you around as my hype man everywhere, or just even my correct my bad grammar guy.
Yeah, that's fine.
It'll work.
That's what I
Rebecca,
do.
I think Rebecca's having some issues there. Oh, there she is. She's a little bit moving.
She's on the move somewhere.
She's on the move. She'll be back, though. So once she gets back, we'll get her all set up. But you know what? It's sad that we don't have her there. And Frank, right now, I feel like we're missing something. Like, I feel like if, you know what, hang on, let me make a call. Let me just see what I can do here.
What do you think we're missing?
We need another person.
You know what? I feel like we need somebody to take charge. Somebody who really understands like how to be very, what's the word?
Man. Like a villain. We need a villain on this team, aside from you. You're the only villain we've got. We need another bad guy here.
No, we don't need a bad guy. We need somebody who knows their way around some political shit that we do here. And you know, there's nobody better than this one particular person I think we could call.
And you know what? I read your mind. I sent the message out, and you know what? Just like that.
Oh my god! This is I had in mind.
All right.
Mr. Langley Kirkwood is in the building again. He is returning. Let's give him a round of applause.
The two-time champion has returned, Mr. Langley Kirkwood. Thank you so much. I think, of course,
You needed some mayoral energy in there.
I can't pronounce that word. I was like, I'm not going to do it. Not live on air. I'm not going to even try that shit.
Well, when you can't get a word said properly, you need the professor with you, and we got Frank Jean to do that as well. So we've got Frank here as well. And of course, there you go. Thank you again for coming back on the show. First and foremost, how are you doing, Langley? It's been a while. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's good to see you guys again. We had blonde hair the last time I saw you all. Got to say, opening credits, your Hop This Way opening credits, I think, have evolved since the last time I was on the show. Is that right?
They may have. That's all Money Matt.
Yeah,
it looks pretty dope, man.
Well done. Thank you, appreciate it. That some of it was sick. I literally looked at the entire Warrior opening, and I'm thinking, shit, how are we gonna kind of incorporate that, because our show is pretty much the piggyback off of what we love anyway. So I was like, you know what, let's just mirror it just a little bit. And then I got in the studio and I wrote a little some, and here we are. Welcome to the Tong. Yeah, all that shit.
And we are so lucky though, like legit.
I'm really happy to be back on, and I believe you had Perry on recently, and I haven't got to see the show because I've been quite busy lately. But Kieran told me that Perry's interview was really cool, so I'm looking forward to catching up with that show, with that episode.
So we're burying the lead here. Kieran watched the episode.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
We're still waiting for Kieran to accept the invite to come on the Tom Show.
We need to talk to Bill. Dude,
yeah, Kieran is, it's life imitating art, and he's kind of up to here with little children at the moment. So I think it's
fair.
It's quite hard for him to find time in amongst and work and juggling all those kids.
I don't blame him.
He's got three young kids, man.
Talking about work,
through that stage.
You've been working a lot yourself lately, too. I mean, you obviously we all know and love you as we love to hate you as Mayor Buckley, of course. And but most recently, you were just as well on One Piece. Now, can you tell us a little bit about this and how this came about? Look at that blonde hair.
I was screaming. I was screaming at the TV. I was definitely screaming at the TV. I'm like,
that was partially mine, and it was also a great hairpiece that they had to weave into my receding hairline there, because old Axe Hands got some good hair. There's Rebecca. Hey, Rebecca, how you doing?
Rebecca's here. Yes, she is.
Are you on a beach in Ipanema or somewhere like that?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm in Paraty, actually. It's beach between Rio and São Paulo. It's carnival here, so as everybody's partying or traveling, so I'm just chilling on the beach. I'm doing stuff today like I'm in the jungle.
Yeah.
I love it. You're properly backlit and everything, so it's great. I love your choices here. I'm not jealous at all. So we're talking about this. One Piece is, and we want to get into Warrior as well, but you're talking about One Piece and about, like, this is quite the iconic show. And
yeah,
can you talk a little bit about that? Did you know what you were getting into when you went into this? Did you have any kind of foreknowledge of the series?
I knew about the show because my kids loved it. My one of my kids, Luffy, was actually one of my kids' WhatsApp avatar,
right?
For his, you know, his for many years, and so I knew that he was crazy about it, and you know, two of my other kids really enjoyed the show, and my stepkids, I think, you know, were familiar with the show. They weren't like super crazy about it like my other kids
really enjoyed the show, and my.
But yeah, I knew about the show. I hadn't actually ever sat down and watched the show. I hadn't read any of the manga, but when I got the audition, I was super excited. I it's always great when you get the opportunity to work on something that, you know, is going to give you a little bit of street cred with your kids, because it doesn't right. happen very often, especially when your kids are young adults and you're just like the most uncool human on the planet. So yeah, it was great to get that opportunity, and it was great to just, you know, I suppose dive into the fun of doing a really crazy comic book manga show. It was nuts in the best way. I had a lot of fun, and we were given free rein to just really have as much fun as we wanted. So it was really cool.
Amazing. Now, Steph, you said you had a question about that actually went back with Warrior as well.
Hmm. The prep time. What was the prep time like between, you know, the prosthetic for Buckley? That was one question. Yeah. You know, how much prep time did you have with that? And then same thing with One Piece. Because I think I remember you posting something about, you know, the contraption and everything. But how did all that, how long does all that take?
So I'll talk you through the whole, like, process. When I got offered the role in September of 2021, and at the end of September, and I knew that I had until the end of February, beginning of March, before I started shooting. And the first thing that the showrunner and the writers asked me to do was to get big, because I was super skinny at the time of the audition. I'd been doing lots of races and things, so I was like quite lean, and you know, obviously the one thing that's really clear about Axe Hand is that he's a big guy, and you know, I think they, luckily for me, they felt that what I brought to the role was more important than the size of my biceps, but they did ask me to put on as much muscle as I could in the time that I had. So I got into the gym and I started eating a lot, and I started taking lots of supplements and creatine and just, you know, doing lots of weight training. And I had to cut right down on my cardio, which was hard for me because it's my vice. And you know, my kind of my endurance stuff is how I get my, I suppose, my daily dose of endorphins. So having to cut that out for 4 months was hard. But I put on 10 kilos, you know, so 22 pounds in those 4 months.
Damn.
And yeah, and it was I guess it worked. It worked for the character. It was I couldn't do it again. Having gone through that, I don't want to go through that again. It's just I've really battled to put on weight, and then once having put the weight on, it just changes everything. It slowed me down so much that when I was rehearsing the fight sequence, it's just like you feel like a different person because you are. Mm-hmm. and I just felt so slow. I felt like a lumbering, you know, kind of sloth.
Is that the biggest you've been?
I was the same size when I shot Generation Kill. I also had to put on weight for that. So 90 kilograms. I don't know what the conversion is here. Let me try and work that out. It's, 90 by 2.2, it's 198 pounds.
Dang. That's the biggest you've ever been?
That's the biggest I've ever been, yeah. I'm quite a skinny guy.
I've almost been two of you. I've almost been two of you at points in my life.
Well, I think it's because you've got a much larger personality than I do.
Larger person. I like the way you put that. A lot of people think, not only a much larger mouth, but
and a heart. You've got a much bigger heart. Oh, I think,
thank you, sir. I appreciate you. I appreciate that. Actually, my doctor said the same thing. He said I had to lose weight. No, we talked though when Steffi was talking though about you know, doing the prosthetics for One Piece. What about?
Yeah, sorry. So I stopped halfway through the process. So I got the weight on. And then they got me into the prosthetics room, and I had to do all sorts of, you know, kind of live casts of my face, of my arm, my whole upper body. They did like they did two things. They did a live cast and they did like 3D scanning, and they 3D printed the kind of the jaw, and they also 3D printed the little hinges that, you know, had to be stuck onto my face that the jaw sat on. And so that was a whole process that, you know, took a few weeks of, you know, sitting, getting prosthetics done, having to get the live cast done for the hair and makeup people because they had to make a hair piece from scratch that had to be woven into my hair. Wow. To give him that like super slick back Johnny Bravo style blonde hair. And I'd say it was probably, you know, and they had to practice it a few times before we started filming to get it all right. But the whole thing, I was probably in the chair for 2 to 3 hours a day before we started filming. And then the axe hand was, you know, look, I mean, there's only so much you can do without. They didn't want to do green screen. They didn't want to do a CGI axe. They didn't want to do, you know, they could have put the green sock over my arm and given me like the humongous bicep and the CGI'd axe, but they wanted to keep it as real as possible and shoot as much as they possibly could.
That's cool.
So I ended up having, you know, I would literally slip my arm into the axe that they'd made, and there was a handle that I would hold on to right at the end at the base of the axe hand. And then we obviously had different axe handles, and I mean, they actually made about 8 or 9 working axe handles, which you see in the back of his office, behind his desk on the wall. And they were, you know, they're all kind of interchangeable. So I could have used any one of those, stuck any of those on at any stage and used those. And they were actually contemplating at one stage whether I was going to use a double bladed axe or the single blade. They right. made the double blade and we tried it out, and it was just too dangerous for the stunt guys. Mm-hmm. And I have to add that they tested that themselves. They didn't like go, oh shit, no, he's gonna kill someone. without me. But then, you know, I had a rubber softie for
fightings
during the action on the day, obviously for other actors' safety. A really realistic looking axe with a rubber kind of a soft outer layer. But then they had obviously the real McCoy, which was, you know, proper hard steel, tempered steel, which we would use pull in for all the close-ups.
I need some of those sleeves for the forest. Okay.
No, you don't. I'm gonna say yes. You are the last person that needs all of that. I mean, I'm actually surprised. I would have thought that like everyone that they would have used would have been, you know, the rubber one. It's kind of neat to hear that they would have actually made an actual one that you could, you know, do some damage.
Really do damage, yeah.
Yeah. So the real one was heavy, man. Wow. It was. So they would use that for all the close-up kind of inserts of me, of the near misses, like of the blade coming down just as Zorro kind of moved out the way and just as Luffy kind of moved aside. Those were all, but if I'd had to do the whole fight sequence with the real blade, I would have been probably three takes and I would have been done because it was so heavy. Yeah, so I was very grateful that they had the soft version for me to shoot with.
That's amazing. So what was the transition like then? I guess that was a lot harder than having to do the prosthetics for Langley. That must have been a lot quicker.
For Buckley.
Right? Buckley, I'm sorry.
For Buckley?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, prosthetics for you, Langley. How was that?
You're one and the same.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I'm the guy.
You are the guy.
This character's missing a limb. Who can we get? Oh, let's get him. He's that guy. It was definitely in terms of the prep time for the in terms of the prosthetic, it was a lot. You know, we don't use the prosthetic for Buckley's leg that often on Warrior. Right. It's kind of like once a season you see, you see his leg. But I mean, that process of making that, I think I probably told you guys about that. That was, you know, that was a long, I sat for quite a while, you know, in terms of they made the live cast of my actual leg to make his stump. So the stump that you see is modeled on, made out of my leg, just, but then they literally do an amputation and they make the skin and they wrap the skin around the way that it would be wrapped around, in those days and stitch it up. And the detail on the Warrior prosthetic is so great because, I mean, you can even see the hair growing the wrong way. Which it does. Right. I mean, you know, because it's taken from the back of the leg and it brought round to the front of the knee and stitched there.
Oh, wow.
And then, yeah.
That is
a lot of attention detail.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Honestly, the prosthetics team on Warrior are so good. They're really amazing.
Well, they'd have to be with some of those fight scenes as well because they're so graphic, so brutal.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, we're talking about Warrior and we all love the show and we're all, you know, I'm going to get the banner going there for everybody. So everyone remembers to do what you can to get Warrior going, Warrior season 4 up on Netflix. This show is such a beloved show to the fans. We talk about this every week and And we talked to you about this as well, about the passion the fans have for the show and the passion you guys have for the show. So if I can change it up a bit, if season four happens, where do you see Buckley going? What is Buckley's future? Because, I mean, we thought he found happiness with Miss Dominique.
Well, he has for now. A lot of what happens with Buckley depends on what he does or doesn't find out about what Catherine is or I should say who Catherine is or isn't doing. I guess if he does find out, then wow,
that guy's dead.
Not only is he dead,
we haven't seen Buckley kind of completely, you know, lose control. He's very much about keeping control and staying in control. But everyone has a breaking point, you know. Mm. And I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens if if Walter has a mental break of sorts.
That's what I was thinking about, because she kind of could a little bit break him already, because he fell in love and all. And I'm sorry about the animals here. And I kind of got happy for him at first, because he became softer, like he was falling in love and all. Mm-hmm. And now I don't know if he finds out about everything, he's gonna be double bad.
I mean, even had Diane mentioned, said to me the other night, she actually really felt sorry for Buckley when she saw him, Catherine, with gum at the end of the season, which was interesting, because he's just such an evil guy, and yet, you know, he's a delicious character as well. You know? And,
delicious.
he really is. I mean, I love him. I love playing him. He's just, and as he's kind of growing in the world and growing in confidence and stepping out into the spotlight of the, you know, kind of political arena, and especially now with this kind of, you know, having someone in his corner, you know, he didn't ever expect to find love, and he did. And I think what that has brought, and the support that Catherine, you know, for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, honorable or not, but the support that she's given him, the way she's pushing him and kind of helping to build him up, is, you know, enabled him to, or enabled me to be braver with, you know, just how delicious I can make him in terms of how confident and cocksure he can become. And, you know, that together with his, I suppose, you know, his kind of dry humor, the amazing writing that we have on the show, it's just a really nice recipe for having fun. And so there's lots there that I think, you know, season four would bring just from his perspective. There's just so many other aspects of the show that are, I think, the audience want to see resolved. They want, you know, there's so many open-ended parts of the show that have, you know, could go anywhere, could go a number of different ways. And you know, you can always guarantee that the writers will take the audience and the cast by surprise in terms of where it will go, because, you know, we don't see the scripts until, you know, usually just a month or two before we shoot. So, you know, we get the first couple of episodes, usually about a month before we start filming. And then we kind of go block by block. So they keep us in the dark as well as the audience in terms of the arc of the season. You know, Jonathan Tropper he'll give us an overview of the things that he feels we need to know. But there'll be lots that he won't want us to know until the last minute, because, you know, otherwise, you know, sometimes I suppose if an actor knows where their storyline is going in a certain season, Sometimes I suppose we can make choices that are not necessarily in line with what the writers want.
Right.
You know, and I suppose, you know, choices are kept fresher and more spontaneous, more imaginative when we don't know what's going to happen. And very often, I think things just, you know, it serves the show, it serves the story, and things are kept like that.
I love it.
We need to know
about television, you know, as opposed to film, where you know you have a very finite and clear character storyline and arc. But on television, you don't, you know, so you've got to really, it really is about, you know, being very present and making the best choices or the most interesting choices that you can make based on the scene and what you know, around the scene and what's come before and where your character's been and what's led up to this moment.
You were talking earlier about how Buckley's known for keeping his cool, right? But
yeah,
in second season and in this season, there's been a couple of cracks in his armor. With the second season, when Leary threatened him, you see him vomit immediately after Leary leaves. And in this one, he has a panic attack right before he runs into Archer.
Yeah.
Saying as much as you're allowed to say, like, what does it say about that character and what that might reveal about him in a possible season four, if he is were to find out about this play that Catherine Archer is putting him in with that assistant? Like, how could you?
Well, I think, he vomited after his interaction with Leary, but not until Leary had left. He didn't let Leary see him like that. The vomiting didn't happen because he was scared. The vomiting happened because of his OCD and because of his absolutely how he has an aversion and an almost like an allergic reaction to being touched and someone being up in his face like that. It's part of his OCD around his post-traumatic stress disorder from the wards. You know, this thing about people getting too close and touching him. So, but the comfort zone thing, he gets out of his comfort zone big time and consciously. It's a conscious choice he knows he's going to have to make when he makes that decision to be sworn in as mayor. So I think it's in episode 8 of season 2 when Blake dies. And there's a moment where Chief Flanagan and Buckley are looking at Mayor Blake's body lying in a pool of blood. And Buckley has a moment. If you go back and watch that scene again, you'll see there's a moment there where he's deciding, am I going to do this or not? When Flanagan reminds him that he is now mayor, and because he has to decide in that moment, am I up for this? Am I going to be able to do this and take on everything that has to go along with this, which includes having to shake people's hands very often, come into contact with people, and we see that in season 3, and he's really, it's fucking hard for him to be surrounded by these crowds and have everyone touching him and manhandling him, but he pushes through. It takes a lot of courage for him to do that and a lot of resilience, and I think he's a plotter, you know, he looks at the long game and kind of strategizes and sees what he has to do. He's not a swashbuckling, you know, kind of charismatic politician or hero, or he doesn't have any of the kind of elements, you know, that the other characters in the show have. But what he does have on his side is his resilience and his consistency. He's a plotter. He just carries on. He just knocks away at the wall every day a little bit until his intention is to break through. And I think it's one of the things that I love about us scenes with Mai Ling. You know, I chatted to Diane about this a few days ago. The thing that these two characters have in common is that everyone underestimates them, you know, for different reasons, but they have a lot more in common than first meets the eye. And barring the obvious differences, they both have come from somewhere else. They're aliens in this place, in this San Francisco, and they both have to reinvent themselves and kind of create new identities for themselves. They both come from a place of trauma. They were both, running away from, and obviously in Mai Ling's case, serious abuse and exploitation and awful things happening to her by a husband that was she didn't want to be with, and reinventing herself the same way that Buckley has. There's an element there when they, in this alliance that they have. I think in season two he says to her, "Don't ever mistake this for friendship. What we have, that's purely business." But he recognizes in her a really valuable ally, and I think he recognizes that kind of, she's got a lot of what he has, and there's the ruthlessness as well. They're both completely ruthless when they have to be. I love that. That element. I don't know where that came from, because I don't think anyone any of you guys asked me about that. But
no, but it's interesting that you mentioned that, though, because you start mentioning all the similarities that that Mai Ling and Buckley have together, Both of them are, but like Mai Ling just went through a hugely traumatic moment that shook her world, that she's like took her out of her world where it's her and Assam now. And Buckley, this could be something, that shakes his world to the part where maybe he leaves politics or maybe he just goes cold. But I feel like there's a way where there's a connection between the two of them, where that could become maybe some kind of romantic entanglement in the future, just because of the shared trauma that they have, you spoke of yourself. I'm not sure where that came from, but
I don't know if romance is written in the stars for them per se, but who knows? I mean, with our writers, with this show, who knows? What I do know is that they are constantly wanting to undermine each other and exploit any kind of weakness that they can see in each other to gain an advantage that they can use within their relationship as bargaining leverage. And that I always love. It's like a fencing match. They're always jousting and they're always trying to get dirt on each other. They're always trying to, outdo the other. And we see it in season three.
Yeah, we do. And you mentioned about your love for him. I got a comment here from Heather Joy Pratt, who says, "I feel like I have to apologize for all the mean things I say to Buckley while watching Warrior. You play Buckley so well, and I don't like him, but you, sir, are a gem."
Thank you. That's very sweet. That's very kind of you. I'm very happy for people to hurl things at the television when Buckley's on screen. I think it's appropriate. The more you hate him, the better, because it's.
Your work is gone. Is doing well. you're doing a good work.
Mission accomplished.
Him, And you were talking about Mai Ling and him, how they are alike. And I was thinking, every time any of them surprise the other, they get surprised but don't get shocked. They kind of grow respect for each other. Like, you are son of a father. They always look at each other like that. Good when they get into his carriage and have that talk and that combat.
They know each other so well. They know each other well. They respect each other. That is the one thing that they, whether they love or hate each other. And obviously, I think it's certainly more of the latter than the former. they certainly respect each other. They know that they are worthy adversaries, which is why they choose to work together, because I think they recognize the strength and the resilience that each of them has. They're an alliance that works well
And now that my link probably in season 4 is going to be in a bad shape after
she's gonna need some friends, you know.
If he starts, as is
Assam.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think this could be the start of a
new company.
The newest Tom got the mayor on board.
Yeah, well, but what if I wonder when the Blake money issue is going to catch up with him?
Yeah, well, let's see. You know, I think Penny's still locked up somewhere. Mm. There's that as well. So, and let's not forget that Zing is back on the scene.
We don't know how Chow is. We don't know if Chow survived or not.
Hoon has shared some ideas that he has for Zing for season 4, and it's really interesting. I really hope the rest of the writing team, you know, should we go season 4, which we obviously all hoping and planning on. I think there will be some. There we go. So you know, just remember what you got to do. Come the 16th, is you got to watch all 3 seasons. It's really important that you binge all 3 seasons all the way through. Give it a double thumbs up at the end. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, you know, during the first 2 weeks of our dropping on Netflix, then we have a much higher chance of being renewed. It's not just about the number of people watching the show initially, but it's people watching and completing. The completion rate apparently is very important for Netflix.
I think it's Brian.
Netflix and tagging Netflix Golden as well is really important.
Yeah. I think it's Brian in the Warrior group who recommends double screening. So have it on 2 screens in your home. Yeah.
Hey, if you can.
Binge on 2 screens.
It can't hurt. Tell your kids, everyone in the family, every profile in the family group must be watching.
Yes! Binging all at the same time.
Seasons and giving a double thumbs up. Go on.
If you don't want to watch it, can I borrow your login and watch from your login? Like that.
I'm gonna get my, and you can't do that anymore. You can't give your password out though. So you're gonna have to do it the old fashioned way. Sign up for Netflix.
Sign up for Netflix and they see a direct correlation between the show, people's subscriptions and people watching the show, then it's a no-brainer for them. And it's like, oh, okay. We've got to make more seasons of this. So
It's exciting
times, man, and exciting that the world is gonna get to see the show, because you know, obviously it hasn't been available to so many people out there, and now it is gonna be, and that's really cool.
Yeah, so many different homes around the world now are finally gonna get to see this. We have RCR who's a regular, who writes and says, wondering how Big Bill and Buckley will clash now that they're going close proximity with Bill as chief. But Bill was your original choice, though. Oh, no, he wasn't, because you got in the other.
No.
For the Chinatown squad, yes, right?
Yeah, for the Chinatown squad. You know, but he was certainly, you know, an option as chief. But I think, you know, he just thought that he had to bring in some, someone with a more proven track record, especially someone who would serve his agenda.
Mm.
And I think, you know, Buckley does see, I think that that Bill has, you know, he has a good dose of humanity in him. And I don't know if that that particular point in time at the beginning of season three didn't serve, you know, what Buckley wanted.
And he has the leadership of the other officers.
Yes.
Bill. Yeah.
That's why he became the chief.
He has the respect of his men, which Buckley now understands and sees. Yeah, certainly, you know, I love the scenes with Kieran, and I don't know if there's going to be necessarily, you know, a lot of fighting there. I think it's more that Bill just gets, you know, repeatedly frustrated by being disappointed by Buckley, because he gets his hopes up and thinks, right. But it is that weird, it's like a toxic relationship, you know, and Bill kind of, you know, you have a lover who does you wrong repeatedly, and then you just stay in the hope that this person's going to change. They're not going to change. They're sure who they are, you know, but Bill's like, he's the ultimate optimist, and he thinks that, you know, that there's good, and he sees the good in people, or he likes to, and I think he thinks that, well, you know, he looks for the humanity in people, which is why he's such a lovable character, you know, in spite of his, you know, his racism and his bigotry. it's you know, this is the thing. I mean, it's the many layers of the show that just make the characters so human and beautifully fucked up and real. You know, the way that the certainly, you know, a number one, you know, I guess priority or in the show, you know, we have these different, I suppose, layers of what the show is actually about, and you know, number one, this is a show about the Asian American experience and Asian American history and the struggle of Asian Americans and immigrants and minorities, you know, coming to San Francisco and America. And in the same way that the show is, you know, it kind of embodies the Bruce Lee legacy in that it's showing Asian characters on screen in a whole new way, in a way that is different to the way America did in the past. You know, the way that Bruce Lee embodied, you know, a fucking badass, masculine, sexy as hell, leading man. You know, and blowing all those awful stereotypes about Asian people on screen out of the water. On the flip side, it also it avoids any kind of stereotyping with the other characters as well. You know, it makes them layered and beautifully human too. The kind of the secondary characters like mine. And it's like. I think that's why audiences love the show so much, is that it's presenting, you know, obviously in a heightened genre, with a fucking amazing action and lots of witty repartee and comedy. It still presents authentic characters, not right. Some kind of whitewashed. Airbrushed version of kind of comic book characters.
Absolutely.
And I think the world is moving more and more towards a place where we don't want the bullshit. We don't want more of the same. We want stuff that is authentic.
Exactly.
If only we could kind of, you know, have that with our politicians, wouldn't that be great? Yeah.
See, exactly. You did it the last time you were with us, and you did it now. You hit the nail right on the head with the important issues. So thank you. It is much appreciated.
I got one more comment here from, I got a few more comments, but one I want to get here too from Raghu, see the film, who says, Langley is a badass in Banshee.
Yeah.
He plays this Colonel Stewart type character from Die Hard 2. I love that he went with the Die Hard 2 reference to Colonel Stewart. I forget his name. Bill Sadler, who played him, the actor Bill Sadler. Die Harder in season 3 of Trapper Show. He also goes on to say that you would make a great Sebastian Shaw, the leader of the Hellfire Club in the X-Men live action film. Kevin Bacon played him in the Days of Future Past. Ooh. I think you'd actually be, this isn't like because you're here. I just think that you'd be a better take on it as well. Ooh. I totally agree with you as Shaw. Right? Right, Matt? Ooh. Us comic book nerds, we're like, oh, wait.
I think he would make a good Magneto.
Magneto. Huh.
Yeah.
I never thought of it.
Give me a few years.
Which one, Langley, would you like to play?
If we're going this way and we are fantasy casting Langley for an MCU movie, there is a character that is free right now that no one's used that's going to be the biggest character in just a little bit, and that's Doctor Doom. I could see you playing Doctor Doom. Because you've already got that gravitas, you've got that leadership, especially you're looking at your character on Banshee as well. I think, oh my God, Black Sails. The more I think about it.
God, you're getting me excited.
Your agent. I'm pushing you to Kevin Feige.
Yeah, fire my agent. Let's get Zeus.
Sorry. you don't want that. Zeus can't even get Zeus work. We've been doing this for almost 45 minutes here. Frank, do you have another question? Because we do have one more set of questions for you to go with Matt here, where you're going to have to go through your tongue trials for the second time. But Frank, did you have another question?
Just one small one. You said that you said Langley's a plotter. Langley's consistent. Langley never gives up. Yeah. Not Langley. Buckley.
You don't need him. He also never gives up, and he always plots.
He's a triathlete. He can't give up. But what do you think Buckley's end game is? Is it as a someone in front in power or someone in the back? Because it seems like he prefers being in the back room, but now he pushed himself to be in the front.
He has. And now he's ambitious, man. I think he thought that there was a ceiling through which he couldn't rise. And I think that, you know, what has happened in season three is that he's feeling like, screw that, that's actually bullshit. You know, I think he wants more. And I think that's what Catherine's brought to him, is that she's helped him believe that he can have more. So I think that might also lead to some really interesting dynamics in, you know, further season or seasons in terms of the wanting something more, because he hasn't really kind of dared to dream for more than Maya. But as he's walking up the hill before he proposes to Catherine, you know, there's conversation there about taking this political career further. So, you know, he could be running for governor soon. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the White House.
President Buckley.
Yeah.
Who knows? A big stick.
I don't know. Does that answer your question, Frank? I mean, is that?
Yeah. No, this. I mean, I know this. You're also probably limited in what you can say. So it's just because that's something I wonder about Buckley. Also, it's like, what does he actually want? Right? And like you were talking about with the Archer character coming in there now, it's like, does he actually love her, or does he see her as a means to an end? So it's almost like ultimately it could be like who's playing who, right?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, and if he does find out, which way will it go? Will he? Mm-hmm. Will we see cold, calculating Buckley go, okay, well, I'm just going to work with this and use it to my advantage, or?
Yes.
I suppose you know we'll.
Yes.
The depth of his feelings will be revealed in how he reacts.
This is actually the origin story of Axe-Hand. This is the origin story of Axe-Hand Morgan. Like, she left on the table.
I think what he look, he really feels for him. He's not bullshitting about his feelings, his emotional. He's fallen hard, and yeah, where's that gonna go?
Well, she said all the right things.
Yeah, yeah, and the puppet master got played, you know.
Yeah, she did.
Damn.
Yeah, well, that last scene, I still like that. Like I was like, I let out an audible, oh my God, when really someone comes out from under a blanket and it wasn't you. I was like,
yeah,
what is happening? No. And then it was that little weasel.
Yeah. that completely played him.
So, yeah.
You know, and that is, I guess, you know, when you think about how, where he's come from, I feel like he finds out.
RCR says, I feel like Buckley finds out he lets her so close, she's going to feel the wrath.
Yeah. Mm. You see, I think before when he was in the shadows, being the person kind of pulling the strings and kind of maneuvering with Blake out in front, he was able to focus on what he was doing because all the attention was on Blake. Now that all the attention has been on him and him feeling the stress and the pressure of running for office and the buck stopping with him in terms of everything that goes wrong in the city, mm-hmm. he's had to put all his energy and focus all his energy on those responsibilities. So, you know, it's, there was a blind spot there, and she
got it.
use of it. She exploited it.
Mm-hmm. Well, but then he'll also, you know, the wrath, you know, when it comes to his second in command, his right hand, his script writer, his, you know, speech writer is in cahoots. Like, ooh, that's not good. That's not good.
Yeah, it's like he was like the mini Buckley, you know.
I love it.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe not. Maybe Walt is an open-minded guy and he'll be open to a threesome. Who knows? Somehow, I don't think so.
There's our next t-shirt. Maybe Buckley's open to a threesome. get it now.
Bring the cane.
What's that?
Bring the cane.
Bring the cane. Oh, that's bring even better. Cane. Bring the cane. If you we're making a bring the cane fucking shirt with these nice ones, let's get some sticky shirts, you know. Just not that we're tooting our own horn or anything there. I love it. This is great. I feel like we've kept you so long here, but we can't let you escape though without going through the reinitiation of the Tong trials here. And those are always put on each week by the one and only Money Matt Chua.
Okay.
I'm so sorry to do this to you. Well, I'm not sorry, but I mean, I do have to do this to you again, Langley. I apologize. But so, you know how this goes, but just for those who, this might be their first time tuning in or who just kind of forget what the rules are. It's pretty simple. I will ask you a series of questions that you are going to answer to the best of your ability. And when it's all said and done and the trial concludes, we will throw our hands up to the screen and we will either keep you in, or you will be for the first time ever casted out, and we have no idea what's going to happen. So far, like we've said plenty of times before, we have had a 100% success rate on everybody getting in and staying in. So
there has to be a first, though. There has to be a first
time. I hope I didn't fuck this up. Let's go. Yeah.
Oh, good. See, this is the energy I need. All right, so. We got to start it off right. Langley, are you ready to endure the Tong trials again?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cucumber cool.
Yeah, I'm channeling my inner Larry David. Yeah.
Okay, then. Question number one. Let's see here. If you had a time machine, would you revisit your past or would you like to see your future and why?
Are you asking me that as Langley or as Buckley?
as you yourself.
No, man. I'm good. I'm really in a happy place in my life. I'm kind of enjoying getting older and hopefully gracefully. I'm in a good place in my life. I don't want to go back.
I like this. For the first time ever, we've had somebody choose neither. That is a great mm-hmm. spot. Next question. Name a cartoon show or movie that they should never do a reboot or remake of.
Jesus. We're talking reboot as in an animated reboot or a live action reboot?
No. Like, yeah, either or. Yeah.
Bugs Bunny. Would you want to see a modern day reboot of Bugs Bunny?
No, actually, I wouldn't. I like it just the way it was, as it was. I'm good with all of it.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah. What's up, Doc? You can't. No, you can't. That's it.
You can't. Yeah.
Next question. This seems to be the fan favorite for this one. Name a hidden talent of yours that would surprise people.
I'm really good at roping. Like,
what does that mean?
Roping, like roping steers.
You're like a cowboy now. Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. So. Yeah. Is it all on the wrist? Is there a technique to it? Like, what is the proper way that you?
Yeah, it really is so. What's different for me and the way most people, because it's like I'm talking, roping in with the American kind of rope, the lasso,
Okay.
And what is different in terms of how I mastered it is that I imagined my wrist action was the same way as you bowl a certain delivery in the game of cricket, which not many Americans are really familiar with or are crazy about. Okay. So that's my unique talent. Within my unique talent is that I learned to rope by using my cricketing skills
Interesting.
A transfer of techniques. Look at that. Okay. I'm good with this. Next one, finish this sentence. Never have I ever blank.
Climbed Everest.
Okay. Is that a goal?
Yet.
Not
surprised. Like it.
All right. Next one.
It was I was younger. It is no longer. I'm enjoying my life too much to do that.
Yeah. Fair. Next one. What is the best meal of the day? Is it breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
For me, I'm intermittent fast, and I do a 24-hour fast, so I only eat dinner most days.
Okay.
So it's the only meal of the day for me.
What is all right? The bonus one is: what is the go-to dinner dish?
I've recently shifted away from eating a lot of meat, and I'm trying to eat very little in the way of red meat, and kind of be more conscious in the ways that I eat and be kinder to the planet and to animals. And so I'm, ordinarily Langley of a couple of years ago would have said lamb chops. I would say a really good any kind of Italian, authentic Italian pasta dish.
Okay.
I went straight after we shot One Piece, as soon as the international travel opened up again for South Africans, because we were on the, I don't know if you remember, we were on the naughty list for a while. We weren't allowed to travel. We were banned from leaving our country for about 4 months or so because of COVID. And because we identified a new strain that was everywhere, but because we'd identified it, they started calling it the South African strain. The first place I went when that travel ban broke was Italy, and I'd never been to Italy before then. And my God, I fell in love with the food, and I just thought, and the best food that we always ate was always in the small family-owned, you know, restaurants, not the big Michelin. We tried two Michelin restaurants that were a huge disappointment, and the authentic kind of, you know, family-owned trattorias and restaurants were just incredible, where you've got like a 70-year-old waiter who's been working there his whole life, and the matriarch is there with her grandmother's recipes in the kitchen. It was just so I would say like a really amazing authentic Italian pasta dish, preferably with some kind of cream in it.
Sounds good. And a cosign, the hole in the wall places always have the best food no matter where you go.
That is
the unwritten rule. Next question. Now, you know, back in the day when, you know, we were all in school, they would always give out awards like, oh, best smile, best, you know, most talented in the certain area, whatever the case is. If your fellow Warrior cast were to give you a somewhat similar award, what do you think it would be?
If it were for a character, for Buckley, it would be his death stare.
And, best death stare, okay.
If it were for Langley, I'd probably say I was the best host.
Best host?
Having like host, yeah, like having cast gatherings and get-togethers.
Were the party starter. That was you.
Not the part. No, you see, it'll always be very specific. It'll be more food and wine orientated. Even though I don't drink.
Yeah.
When I did, I was very kind of, I loved wine and very knowledgeable, I suppose, about it. So, always, you know, when we have an event at my house, there's always good food and good wine.
Ooh,
connoisseur.
Yeah.
That is a hell of a talent to have. I think you might be in just for that one.
Yeah, there was the parties were all usually Joe Taslim's place. That's kind of if Joe was involved, and Brett Chan and Dean, then the party things would get quite wild.
I was usually
in bed asleep by then. I'm afraid. I usually have to get up at like 4 a.m. to go and train. So I'm the dullest person when it comes to going out and partying.
Yeah. Come now. Let's not do that. Next question. Out of all the characters that you've played so far, and you have had a plethora to choose from, which one do you think would be your friend in real life?
Fuck. They're all assholes and bad guys. I don't know if I'd want to be friends with any of them. No, I wouldn't want to be friends with either of those fuckers. That's a good question.
I feel like you would have a lot of deep political debates with Buckley.
Yeah.
But
I don't know if we'd be friends.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really good question, man.
There's a lot of villains.
I think, you know, just because I suppose realistically, I did a movie called Mia and the White Lion where I played like a, you know, a dad, and it was a character.
I had that on my list. I was going to suggest that. He's like a good guy.
He was a, you know, flawed good guy, and I drew a lot of from a lot of people that I knew, that I know personally, for that character. So I'd say him. His name is John Owen. and he's like a South African game farmer.
Okay.
And a dad to a rebellious young teenager. So those are the kind of people I hang out with. Dads.
That's hey.
Dads to rebellious teenagers.
There's nothing wrong with that. Next one. Describe your perfect day off.
Well, I had a pretty good day off today. You know, and ordinarily, a day off will involve my fiance and my kids. A perfect off day would involve them. But I'm shooting in a different country at the moment, and I had an off day today. And I went and ran 20 miles on a treadmill in a gym overlooking a beautiful river, and then went out and had the most delicious lunch, and came home, spoke to my kids, to my fiance, and now I'm speaking to cool people on the other side of the world, and I'm going to end the day off by watching the African Cup of Nations football final, and then hopefully before I fall asleep, the Super Bowl, and I'm not filming tomorrow, so I can sleep late. So I think today's pretty close to perfect.
Damn.
That's awesome.
Involve my loved ones. Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
He put us in his perfect day. I'm good. I'm good.
I like that.
I like that. We're part of the perfect day off.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Now, finally, right? During the last Tong Trials, you said that if you had a theme song every time you went in a room, you were the first to ever have two that you chose from. You chose the Looney Tunes theme song, and you chose
Bunnies again.
Yeah. And you chose This Is Why I'm Hot by Mims.
Yeah. That was slightly sarcastic, the second one.
Oh, no, but it counts down. No, it's yeah. So now the final question is, are these still your theme songs that you would choose, or are you changing? He's like, fuck no.
Can I look at my iTunes quickly?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Just see what's up there.
You will have a Jeopardy long song time.
Here we go.
You know what? Because I'm in the car a lot with a 13-year-old stepdaughter, and because it's Super Bowl Sunday, Taylor Swift song.
Which one? There's so many. Which one?
Well,
any?
I think for Buckley, Anti-Hero is relevant. So
oh my God! All right. Well,
you didn't expect that, did you?
No, I didn't.
To be fair, we didn't expect Looney Tunes the last time either, though.
That's fine with me. So Taylor Swift, Anti-Hero. Well, I think that concludes my trials, Tong. So it is time to judge him again. We will see if he is in, or for the first time, somebody he's out. On the count of three. Two, one.
Oh,
yes.
I get to live another day.
Lang,
one more day.
You have You have once again passed the Tong trials. Congratulations, you are still in our Tong. Hey.
Excellent.
Speech.
It was just a relief not to, get ousted and get my head chopped off. Very, very, very relieved.
No, none of that here.
Good to be in the Tong. Good to still be in the Tong.
There you go.
Thanks. Of course. Was there ever any doubt, though, honestly? So Langley, this has been amazing, and we've taken up so much of your time, especially on your day off here. And I appreciate you doing that. Of course, folks, we told you can see it going down on the bottom there. Warrior season 4, we want that to happen, but the first 3 seasons of Warrior are dropping. That's right. That's going to be happening on the 16th. April?
Yep. February
16th.
Friday.
Do not listen to Zeus. It is February 16th.
Rebecca.
I was going for April 1st. I didn't even yet today. Right? No, so February 16th.
Yeah, Friday, February 16th. It is most territories around the world on Netflix. I believe there are some that won't be available yet, but it should be everywhere really soon. So, and it's really important if we want to renew, the show, get the show renewed and get more seasons, that everyone binge watch all the way through all three seasons, give it a double thumbs up, and tell all your friends about the show. Tell everyone you know, and who knows? Hopefully we'll get to get back in the paddock once more and give it another go.
Yeah, I have one little tidbit to add.
Yeah.
Langley, thank you so much for making time for me and Rebecca. So those who do not know, we are the crazy ones who did go to Cape Town, and we had the pleasure of having tea with you, and I am so grateful. I am so thankful. So it's much appreciated.
I've got to show you something. It was so great to see you. And it was I was blown away by your generosity, because you guys gave me not just my Hop This Way t-shirt, but just excuse me one second.
What's going on, guys? What did you guys do over there?
Which I wore at the gym today. It's vital to keep your feet healthy and.
Brazilian sandals.
Wow.
Here we go.
Oh, Brazilian flag. Oh my gosh.
That's lovely.
So glad that you like it.
Havaianas.
Havaianas.
I still wear and still haven't trashed.
They're so
lovely. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you.
We're hoping you guys get renewed for another season. Plus, I think. We've talked about it. I don't know how viable it's going to be, but we're all going to try to make it up there to Cape Town and do a set visit, or even just do a visit up there to for the show.
That'll be cool.
As the whole crew. Oh, my goodness.
That'll be really cool.
Wow. It'd be so much fun.
That would be awesome.
It'd be better than awesome. It would be
epic.
Yeah. Just finishing the thank you thing. You're very generous. I mean, the whole cast of Warrior is very generous with the fans, but not everyone could make a time to meet us in South Africa, and you did. You had a coffee with us, and you posted our photo saying that we crossed half world to be there, so you could not meeting us.
So.
Yeah, super fans.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you so much.
Either way, though, this has been a lot of fun, and thank you so much for spending your Sunday with us. What do you have coming up that we can tell the folks about? Anything in the pipeline?
Yeah, I'm busy shooting a 4-part miniseries for Netflix, which I can't really say more than that. And then when I get back to South Africa, I'm going to be shooting on a very exciting period piece that I can't actually, I've signed an NDA. I can't actually tell you anything about it, but it's not set in this day and age. And it's going to be really cool. It's going to be really cool.
Hopefully
we'll be doing some more Warrior soon.
Exactly. Well, either way,
anything's possible.
We need to have that happen, and we need to have you back on another time. Derek Chin, you get the last comment of the day, Derek. And Derek says, we need to see what happens between Langley and Catherine Archer season 4.
I agree.
We
need to see what happens there.
All right. Well, that's everything. Thank you so much for being on the show, Langley. And before we leave, like we do every week, Langley, don't feel the need to be a part of this insanity, because we never, ever get it right, but we're still going to do it. Starting from the right, everybody.
One, two, three. Let's get some sticky.
You work out in all TV shows. We love you all, though. And we'll see you all next week.
Okay. Bye.